Going to finish up this chapter of Galatians chapter 4. And Paul is going to finish his doctrinal dissertation. It is a doctrinal chapter right here. Very doctrinal, not real practical. But he's going to start in chapter number 5 with something a little bit more practical. What Paul is doing here is he's trying to show the Galatian believers through the Scriptures and through different illustrations in the Bible of their error, of the things that they are believing. They are wrong. And he's going to make his last stand or last plea to them about how they are believing in the wrong way. They're believing, they've gone astray in what they're believing. And he's going to show them that they are not free. The things that they're going to, it's not freedom. That they believe that they're gaining freedom, but it's not free. And I want to talk to us this morning about being children of the free. Are you free here this morning? I hope that you are. If you're not, you can be free. You can find freedom, and it's found in our Lord Jesus Christ. But I hope that we're all children of the free here this morning. Let's ask God to bless the reading of His Word. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your blessings upon us. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, God, for being able to assemble here together this morning. Father, we pray that You bless the reading of Your Word. In the preaching of Your Word, I pray that You would help me and give me the words to speak, help me to know what to say, and give me the strength, help us all to listen and to be attentive to Your Word and to get something from it, to be established and rooted in the faith. We'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm quite happy with what the Lord has done so far with the things that we have learned in Galatians. We're going to continue that this morning. We'll start in verse number 21 and go down to verse number 31, the last 10 verses of Galatians chapter 4. Paul says, "Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondmaid was born after the flesh. And he that was the free woman was by promise, which things are an allegory. For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth the bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice thou that barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free." Paul is speaking here, and he's going to give them some biblical examples about why they are going astray in their doctrine. He's going to bring up several doubles here. He's going to bring up two sons. He's going to bring up two mothers. He's going to bring up two covenants. And the dividing line between all of those things, all of those, the covenant, the mother and the child is bondage and freedom. On each side of those dividing lines, there's bondage and there's freedom. And Paul is telling them, the Galatian believers, that look, you're on the wrong side of the divide. Gone to the wrong side. And I'd like to ask you here this morning, are you free? Because freedom is not free. It's not free. We live in a free country, but we didn't just pop up one day and we had a free country and, you know, here we are and we've got all these freedoms. It didn't happen that way. There was a price that had to be paid for that freedom. People lost their lives. People gave their lives. People shed their blood. They gave the ultimate sacrifice so that we could be free. And I'm thankful for that. But you also have to fight to maintain that freedom, because if you give up and you give up freedoms, you're going to lose that freedom because people don't want you to be free. Some people don't. But no one is truly free before they're saved. They might be unaware of their bondage, but they're not free. Not free by a long shot. They're anything but free. The immoral person, he's bound in chains of sin. He's doing things that are wrong and indulging in sin in his own flesh and doing whatever he wants to do. And he may not realize that he's bound in sin, but he's bound in sin. That's the immoral person. What about the religious person, the humanist or the moralist? Well, he's not free either. He's bound by his own standard of righteousness, which is actually his own self-righteousness. And so he's got to keep coming back and trying to please God or trying to appease God in some way. He's got to come back and keep on confessing to the priest or taking the sacraments or something like that in order to appease God. He's not free. What about the atheist? Is he free? Well, no, the atheist is not free either. The atheist is bound by his conscience. The atheist knows what's right and what's wrong because he has the law of God written in his heart, and he knows very well that he's doing things that are wrong, and he's bound by his conscience, and so he's got to try to do things that are right, and he knows that he's doing things that are right and doing things that are wrong, but he's not free at all. Everyone knows that there's a God, by the way. It doesn't matter whether you're an atheist, whether you say you believe you don't or you don't. What they try to do is they just try to suppress the truth and push it away from them. But they're not free. Everyone is bound in sin and they're enslaved, but you only find true freedom in Christ. Our remedy for spiritual bondage is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ was speaking to some Pharisees in John chapter number 8, they thought that they were free. They were very sure that they were free. They said, "We've never been enslaved to anyone. We be Abraham's seed, and we've never been in bondage to any man." But Jesus Christ told them, he says, "Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." If you commit sin, you are enslaved to that sin. You are a servant of that sin. And in order to be freed from that sin and that bondage that you're in, you're going to have the Son. The Son will come and live on the inside of your body and the inside of your heart, and he will make you free from the bondage that you find yourself in. Because nobody is free before you find Jesus Christ. And Paul is speaking to the Galatian believers here, and he's trying to tell them, look, you're going backwards like we talked about last week. You're going the wrong direction. You're not going towards freedom, you're going towards bondage. You're trying to keep the law, and you can't keep the law. Because that is a covenant of bondage that you're going into. Are you free in Christ this morning? If we are children of the free, there's going to be some certain things that are going to be true. If you are indeed free this morning. We want to look at three important aspects of Christian freedom and one essential action that we must take if we are going to be free in Christ. You got to have some freedom in your life. First thing, you have to have a free mother. You have to have a free mother. Number two, you have to be under a free covenant. And number three, you can expect some things if you are free. And there's some things that you're going to have to do as well. Number one, you have to have a free mother. Why do we say that? Because your first mother did not bear you into freedom. She was in bondage herself. When she bore you in bondage and sin and unrighteousness. And Paul is going to use a couple of women here, and he's going to talk about them, and he's going to give us an illustration of a couple of women. One was free and one was in bondage. It says in verse 22 and 23, it says, "For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman. But he was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he was of the free woman was born by or was by promise." Those who are free in Christ, they have a specific mother. Now, a lot of times we don't think about, as Christians, we don't think about who our mother is. We know our Heavenly Father, we know about Him, we hear about Him all the time, but we also have a mother. And Paul is giving us a biblical illustration of those who are free in Christ. Abraham had two sons. The first son he had was by a bondwoman. She was not free. The second son that he had was by Sarah, and she was free. So Abraham and Sarah tried to circumvent God's plans, and they had this slave girl that they found, and they picked her up in Egypt. God had already promised them a son through Sarah, and they said, well, we're tired of waiting on God to act. We're tired of waiting on Him to do something, so we have this servant girl named Hagar. And so what I want you to do, Abraham, is I want you to go in unto Hagar, and you have a son by proxy through Hagar. She was not free. She was just a servant. And so they had a son, and his name was Ishmael. Well, they were tired of waiting on God because Sarah was like 90 years old. They didn't see how God was going to provide this son. And so God had already said, look, you're going to have a son. And they laughed about that. And they thought, how in the world can a woman who's 90 years old have a son? And so they did have a son, a second son. His name was Isaac, and that was through Sarah. But I want you to think about the conception of these two sons very closely. The first conception was self-willed. It was devoid of faith. Abraham and Sarah had lapsed in their faith, and they had forgot about the promise that God had given to them. They didn't believe what God had said there for a while, and so they said, look, go into Hagar and do it that way. Devoid of faith. They ceased to fully trust in God through this. First conception was done in haste. They said, look, we're going to do it ourselves. Let's go out and do it ourselves. Let's not wait on God. Look, we have Hagar here. Let's do this. And they ran ahead of God, and they said, look, let's produce a child ourselves. It was done in haste, and it was done after the flesh. They did it themselves by our own strength, by our own plan. We're going to do it our way. It was not of God. It was of Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar. What about that second conception? The second conception was supernatural in nature. God had to do that because Sarah was 90 years old, and a woman who's 90 years old cannot have a child. It was supernatural in nature. It was of faith. Abraham and Sarah had to completely and totally rely upon God to do this. There's nothing that they could contribute. Absolutely nothing. They're too old. The only thing that they can do is sit there and wait on God to do something. You know how hard that is? To wait on God to do something? It was of God's timing as well. They had to sit there and wait. It was not up to Abraham and Sarah to make it happen. They couldn't do it. It was impossible. And so if you and I have been born again here, we are children of the free. Now, I'd like to ask you again, who's your mother? Because your first mother bore you into bondage and bore you into death because she herself was a slave and she herself was a sinner. And in order to be born free, you must have a free mother. It says in John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, it says, but as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. God is the one who gives the new birth. You can't do it yourself. And what Paul is saying to the Galatians is, hey, you can't run ahead of God and start keeping the law and then try to make yourself born again. It doesn't work that way. It has to be completely of God. You can't will the new birth. You can't work for the new birth. You must be born from above. It says in verse number 26 that the new Jerusalem is the mother of us all. And when he says the of us all, he's talking about Christians. Christians have a mother, and it's God. It originates in heaven. It comes from above. That's where the new birth comes from. And if you want to be born free, you have to have a free mother, and heaven is completely free. There's no bondage up there. There's no sin up there. And that's where it comes from. If you and I want to be free, we must have a new birth from above. And we cannot do it on our own. It must come from God. When Jesus Christ was speaking to Nicodemus, he was trying to give this same ideal and this same doctrine to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus couldn't understand it. Nicodemus came to him and says, we know that you're a good teacher and come from God. No man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus made no bones about it. He says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You have to be born again, Nicodemus. And Nicodemus, he doesn't understand this. He says, well, wait a minute. How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? No, he can't do that because that's a problem in the first place. Your first birth gets you to death. It doesn't get you to life. That's why we die. We're born sinners. We're born in bondage. We're born in death. And he says, you must be born again. Then he goes on to explain it. He says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You ever seen the wind blow before? You ever wonder where it comes from, where it's going? Where'd that come from? Where'd that go? That's the way the new birth is. Where'd that come from? It came from God. That's where it came from. And there's nothing that you and I could do to will the new birth except for believe on Jesus Christ. It comes by faith. That's all we can do. Who is your mother? Are you birthed from above or is salvation in your hands? You can't be your own mother. You ever try that before? It doesn't work. And that's what these Galatian believers are doing here. They're saying, look, we are our own mother. We are bringing about our own salvation by doing good works and making ourselves good enough to get into heaven. And Paul the Apostle comes up and says, no, wrong mother. You're trying to be like Hagar. Hagar was a slave woman, and she gave birth to Ishmael. Wrong son, wrong son. You're trying to will your own birth. You're just like that Ishmael that was born, and he was not the son of promise. He was not. You know what else we have to have? We have to have a free covenant, a free covenant. He says in verse 24 and 25, which things are an allegory for these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which tendereth the bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. Paul is going to give an interpretation of the illustration he just gave by a representation of the two covenants. So Paul gives us two covenants to interpret his illustration that he just gave. The one covenant is the Mosaic covenant. And that covenant only brings bondage. That's all it brings. It gendereth bondage because it is a conditional covenant. And you must hold up your end of the bargain in order to stay in the covenant. When God gave the Mosaic covenant in the book of Exodus, which we have been studying on Wednesday nights, it is this. You have to obey my commandments, you have to do what is right, and you have to keep up your end of the covenant or you are out of the covenant. And you know what happened to the children of Israel? They didn't keep that covenant. And you know what happened? The enemy came over and took their land away, just like God said he was going to do. And the Galatian believers are trying to keep this covenant, which is conditional, and they can't do it. And Paul says, you're a fool. You can't do good works in order to be saved. You can't keep that covenant. And you're under the wrong covenant because it's not a free covenant. It is a covenant of bondage. You're going to put yourself under that kind of pressure and under that kind of stress to try and keep that kind of covenant. You can't do it. The Mosaic covenant was not a freedom. It was dependent upon their behavior and their works. But what about the other covenant that he's talking about? That's the Abrahamic covenant in Genesis chapter number 12. And let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. That's a free covenant. That's a free covenant. You know why? It was a promise. It was a promise that God made to Abraham. And he says, you don't have to keep anything. There's nothing for Abraham to keep. God gave a promise to Abraham. He says, I'm giving you a land and I'm giving you a people today. And Abraham had to agree to nothing. I told you about this a few weeks ago. Complete promise, free and clear, belongs to Abraham. Did you know here this morning that if you are saved and you've been born again, that you are a product of the Abrahamic covenant that was made in Genesis chapter number 12, because Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant. You're a product of the promise of God that God said, I will give you a people, Abraham. You ever sing the song, Father Abraham had many sons, and I am one of them, and so were you. Why? A promise from God. And let me tell you something else. You know that conditional covenant that God made in Exodus with the nation of Israel? It says, you got to keep my laws. You got to do all these things. You have to do these things. Do you know who kept that covenant perfectly? Jesus Christ kept that covenant. And so therefore, we are not under obligation to keep the Mosaic covenant because Jesus Christ has already done it for us. And we now have the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ because Christ kept the covenant for us. What covenant are you under? Now, if salvation is in your hands and you are trying to keep that covenant or trying to do good works or trying to be your best, then you are under the wrong covenant. But we have a better covenant and it's free. Free and clear. In order to be free, you have to be under the right covenant. Either we're saved by promise from God and we're trusting in that promise, or we are trying to be our own saviors and trying to save ourselves. You say, yeah, but I don't even believe in God. A pagan moralist who does not believe in God is not free. You're placing yourself under the curse of God. That's what you are doing. By your moral actions, you are declaring that the law of God is just and right and good. Every time that you lie and you cheat and you steal, you are confirming that God's law is right. That's what you're saying. It doesn't matter whether you say you believe in God or not. And one of these days, you will be judged by that law that you have. That's what you'll be judged by. And every time that you engage in lying and cheating and stealing, and then you try to cover it up, you know what you're doing? You're confirming the law of God that it's right and just and good, and you will have no leg to stand on before God one of these days, and you will be eternally damned in hell for rejecting the law and the Savior that God has provided. Amen. One of these days, we're all going to stand before that law. So which covenant are you under? The one that is free or the one that genders to bondage? Because if you're the one that genders to bondage, you're trying really hard, really hard to try and save yourself. Where does that leave us? If we are under, if the New Jerusalem is our mother and we are under this covenant, we should expect some things. We should expect the world not to like us. We should expect the world to hate us. It says in verse number 29, it says, but he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. From the time that Isaac was born, Ishmael persecuted Isaac. Ishmael resented Isaac, and he persecuted him. And Sarah saw this. She has two sons, Isaac and Ishmael. She says, get that boy out of here. Get Ishmael out of here, cast her out, and cast out Hagar. He doesn't have no inheritance. He was persecuting Isaac, all the time he was persecuting him. There's always been tension and jealousy between the children of Isaac and Ishmael and between their two nations. I'd like to ask you this morning, who has been the historical persecutor between the Jews and the Arabians? Because Isaac is the progenitor of the Jews and Ishmael is the progenitor of the Arabians. Who has been the persecutor between those two? It's been the Arabians. They've always been after the Jews. Same way today. He says, even so it is now. Amen. They have always been the persecutor. Who has been the persecutor of the Christians historically? Those who believe in grace and live by grace. Who have been the persecutors? It has been the legalist. It has been those who want to set up a state church. It has been those who hated grace and loved works. We think about Jesus Christ, and he was persecuted all of his life. Why was he persecuted? And who persecuted him? The religious sects of his day. The religious cults of his day. The Pharisees. The legalists. They hated that Jesus Christ comes and he preaches grace. And he calls them sinners and says they need to repent. And they resented that and they persecuted Jesus Christ and nailed him to a tree because they resented the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not going to be any different for you and I here today. Jesus Christ said, even my followers who come after me, there's going to be people who hate you. There's going to be people who persecute you and who go against you. Why? Because you're following me and because you believe in grace. That's why. persecuted for the name of Jesus Christ, and hated of men for my name's sake. So we should not be surprised whenever people do not like us and they hate us. Why? Because we believe in grace. It says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 to 16, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." It says, hey, don't be surprised and don't think it's strange whenever people persecute you for my name's sake. You know what he actually says? He says, look, rejoice and be glad. He says, For the Spirit and the glory of God resteth upon you. Because people hate you for my name's sake. We can expect some pushback and we can expect some persecution. Why do people persecute? One thing I thought of is they don't know God. They don't know the Son of God. Well, they think they do, and they think that they're doing right. We think of the Apostle Paul. Boy, he thought he was doing God's work, and he used to be the one who went out and persecuted and did the things that were wrong, persecuted other Christians. Why? He was a legalist. And he says, you're going to follow our law. You're going to follow our religion. But he didn't know God. He didn't know our Lord Jesus Christ. So people will persecute us because they don't know our Lord. They don't know God. Why will people persecute? Well, they're self-righteous. People really don't appreciate being told that they're sinners and that they have to trust Jesus Christ. You know what people like? You know what makes people feel good? Hey, I'm pretty good. I can get it myself. I don't need a Savior. I don't need Jesus. Well, maybe we can just, if the Lord can help me out a little bit and I can do the rest, then I'll be okay with that. But the world and people in their spirit and in their heart, they do not like being told that they cannot save themselves. They don't like it. They don't like it. They don't like being told, look, you need the grace of God to be able to get saved. Can't stand it. Can't stand it. So what should we expect? We should expect some pushback. We should expect some hatred from the world. Paul the Apostle says, hey, it's been that way ever since Isaac was born. And Jesus Christ is a type of Isaac. And we are the sons of God, brothers with Jesus Christ. How could we not expect the same thing? Some pushback, some hatred from the world. The final thing that we can examine is this. What should we do about that? You know, our flesh fights against us all the time. Yes, our flesh fights against us. You know what it does? It resents Jesus Christ. It resents grace. We're so self-righteous. Boy, we want to think that we can do it ourselves. The verses before us, Sarah said to Abraham, he said, cast out the bondwoman, for my son Isaac is not heir with Ishmael. And you get her out. Cast her out. He's only causing trouble. He's only causing problems. And I want that woman and her son to go. And God heard those words. And God said to Abraham, you better listen to your wife, Sarah, because she says what she's saying is right. Cast her out and get her out. Did you know here today that we have problems with our flesh? We have problems with our self-righteousness. And we need to cast out anything that exalts itself against Jesus Christ, exalts itself against the grace of God, and tries to put us back under bondage. Cast it out. Anything that gets in the way of our relationship with Jesus Christ. What gets in the way of Jesus Christ? Your flesh. Your flesh does. Boy, it wants to sin, doesn't it? Wants to gratify itself, wants to do things that are wrong because, boy, it feels good. It wants to sin, wants to transgress against God and say, well, look, God doesn't know what He's talking about. Go ahead and satisfy yourself. Go ahead and do what you want to do. You know where you're headed? You're headed back to Egypt. You're headed to bondage. That's where you're going. Fall back into bondage. Oh, I'll just do it for a little while. I'll try it for a little while. I'll do it once or twice, and then once or twice turns into 10 or 15 times, and after a while you're addicted. Think that they can handle it. You can't handle sin. I can't handle sin. Nobody can handle sin. Cast out the bondwoman. You know what else you need to cast out? Cast out false teachers and false preachers that try to put you back under bondage. When Paul was speaking to these legalizers and these Judaizers, he says, we didn't give subjection to them. No, not for an hour. Not even 1 minute did we listen to them. We cast them out. Other places, he says, hey, don't be messing around with that. Don't be messing around with false teachers. Don't be listening to atheists and agnostics and try to, don't consider what they have to say. Amen. Don't listen to that kind of stuff. Don't listen to false teachers and false preachers. Amen. All that stuff, don't listen to that. Cast it out. You want something that's going to strengthen your faith and that's going to help you. Amen. Not to drag you away from Christ and make you doubt the grace of God. You don't want that. Amen. Cast it out. Cast out the bondwoman. So there must be an expulsion. We must cast out self that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and cast out those thoughts that rise up and try to bring us and take us away from Jesus Christ. There has to be an expulsion. If you don't, it's only going to cause problems. You're going to have problems in your Christian life if you don't do it. Are you a free child here this morning? Have you been set free by the Son of God? Or do you only have an illusion of freedom that the world offers? The freedom that we find in Jesus Christ is the freedom to serve without fear of judgment. The freedom that we have in Jesus Christ is the freedom to live in godliness and holiness. And it is God that produces that holiness in us by His Spirit as we believe the gospel and as we trust Jesus Christ. That's where it comes from. So since we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, as the Apostle Paul says later on in this book. Because the flesh is going to rise up against us. Let us cast out anything that would drag us away from Jesus Christ, and let us be disciples, the ones that we were called to be, and let us love others and love our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. As it says in John chapter 13 and verse number 35, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. You're going to have the freedom to love your brothers and sisters in Christ when you follow the Spirit and you walk in the Spirit and live the way that we were called to live. Are you children of the free? Who's your mother? Who's your mother? Who's your covenant? What is your covenant? Whose child are you? You trying to birth yourself into the family of God? Only God can do that. Trust Jesus Christ and Him alone. Stay under His covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray.